You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The time has come.
I like that.
The time is now for Victoria Stilwell's Positively Podcast. She's a world-renowned dog trainer.
Seen enough dogs today, have you?
She's the host of It's Me or the Dog.
I'm coming to train you.
Along with co-host Holly Furfer.
You don't play around with that name, do you?
I am a fan of Shwethi Balls.
She's Victoria Stilwell, and she's ready to go.
This is a lovely way to start the day.
You get the busy bee. I need to trim her whiskers.
I see some poo here.
I feel a little bit better now because I'm the only one who usually feels stupid during the podcast.
Now, let's head to the studio and get this Positively Podcast started.
It's podcast time again. Welcome, Holly.
Hello. Good to be back again.
I'm excited because this week is the first, the UK's first dog bite prevention week.
Yay.
And it's hosted, it's Positively. We have, you know, used the model that was created by the American Veterinary Medical Association in the US, and we've brought it over to England, and we're doing of something similar. Mm-hmm. The conference that we had on the 6th and 7th of June mm-hmm. kicked off the week, the National Dog Bite Prevention and Behavior Conference, mm-hmm. very successful.
Great.
So it kicked off the week, and this has been a week of social media and raising awareness.
Great.
It really is. It's more of a social media a week, mm-hmm. and we have various supporting partners. I would just really like to thank Wood Green Animal Shelter, the University of Lincoln, Dogs Helping Kids, the Kennel Club Safe and Sound Scheme, all of those people that have supported National Dog Bite Prevention Week here mm-hmm. in the UK.
That's
so
great.
It's been great. You know, it's a great time to be able to get out information. But again, can't only be in this week. Like in the US, we got to do it every week.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of, you told me about a new movie coming out when you talk about dog bite prevention and dogs and everything.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say.
It's education. And mm-hmm. that's what, hey, we need to educate kids, especially how mm-hmm. to be around dogs. We need to educate adults too, but
yes.
we need to educate kids. We also need to educate police officers,
law enforcement,
how to be around dogs. Mm-hmm. Now, I have had personal experience of this, mm-hmm. so I can talk about it. Being embedded with the Gwinnett County Sheriff's Canine Unit for over a year.
In Georgia,
knowing what they go through, mm-hmm. going on their calls with them, mm-hmm. being out there at night in all kinds of different situations. Twice we've had dogs set on us. Mm. One time it was a pit bull that was released out of the back door, set on the officers out there. The second time we're walking up a dark road tracking this guy who's drug addict, and he's run off and he's escaped from a taser and he's run off into the woods. We're tracking him. We walk up a road. The dogs weren't set on us, but they were outside mm-hmm. and it was at nighttime, and this big kind of mastiff dog comes towards the canine unit. They have their dog, so mm. their dog, just one dog, is going ballistic, and there's another terrier as well. So I put myself in between the canine dog and the dogs that are approaching and tell them to go back, which they did, and eventually the owner came out. But I know what it's like. Mm-hmm. I've experienced it now. And if there is somebody, fortunately, my canine guys, they've never shot a dog. They know about dog behavior, so they never have. But I can understand why police officers do, because they're scared and they mm-hmm. don't have the right
education. So
that's the reason why when these people came to me to ask if I could take part in this film of Dogs and Men, Michael Ozias, I don't think I'm pronouncing his name, Ozias. Mm-hmm. I call him Oz, and Patrick Reasonover. They're from LA, and they have been working diligently on a documentary called Of Dogs and Men, mm-hmm. which addresses this issue of cops shooting dogs, mm-hmm. estimated around 10,000 dogs a year shot by law enforcement.
You hear about it in the news, and sometimes it seems, you know, the ones we hear about seem egregious, and obviously that's why you hear about them. You know, but you're right. There are both sides. It's kind of this, you know, what do you do? It's the circumstance. I think you have to look at each one individually, but it happens.
And I think this film is really good at taking this issue and looking at it from both sides. And so I'm a talking head in it. But what I'm also really happy is that the canine unit that I work with, mm-hmm. Sergeant Paul Corso and Deputy Sheriff Jason Cotton, also agreed to be part of the film. Because remember, they're canine, so they understand dogs. And if you're going to have a dog set on you, better make it canine because they're going to know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
But they also know it from the police officer side as well, of the danger that these police face. So you'll see Sergeant Paul Corso in the trailer and Jason Cotton in the trailer, and then you'll see them in the actual documentary when the documentary is released. So the trailer has just been released, and if you want to go see it, go to ofdogsandmen.net. Or put, if you want to go to YouTube and just put Of Dogs and Men documentary trailer, it will come up with that. You can find out more information about these guys and the film that they made and the stories of some of the people whose dogs have been shot by law enforcement.
It shows both sides. So it's a,
it does show
pretty
both
good,
sides.
You know, yes, if somebody, you know, like I saw the trailer and, you know, they shot my chihuahua, like your chihuahua, you know, so there's both sides of the coin.
It's really hard to watch. I'm not kidding you. It's hard to watch.
I'll just have to
watch.
Tell you that Victoria showed it to me and she had to cover the screen with a piece of paper in some of the scenes that I can't watch. Cause if you're like that though, I mean, I know it's so important to watch, but just, you know, like, thank you for doing that. Okay, let's talk about something happier. Let's shift because you know, I have two dogs, but I also have a cat. And there's a lot of people who come up to me and say, oh, I love your podcast. You never talk about cats. Well, a few weeks back, we had Steve Dale, and we talked about cats in kindergarten.
Yes.
And so I know we're going to bring him back today to talk about senior cats, because me, I have an 18-year-old cat, and I have so many other
questions. So basically, just say that this podcast is just for you, Holly.
Yeah, just for me. It's only about me.
You just loved what you loved what Steve said so much that you want him back.
Exactly. And he was nice enough to say we'd come back. And so, you know, and I know there's definitely dog people and cat people, and then there's people who are both. But I found this thing online. Somebody put on Facebook, and I put it on my page, and it's a dog diary versus a cat diary. And it's so true. So I just wanted to, if you haven't seen it. So here's the dog diary. Ready? Have you heard this?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Dog diary, 8 a.m. Dog food, my favorite thing. 9:30 a.m. A car ride, my favorite thing. 9:40 a.m. A walk in the park, my favorite thing. 10:30, got rubbed and petted, my favorite thing. 12 o'clock, milk bones, my favorite thing. 1 o'clock, played in the yard, my favorite thing. 3 p.m., wag my tail, my favorite thing. 5 p.m., dinner, my favorite thing. 7 p.m., got to play the ball, my favorite thing. 8 p.m., wow, watch TV with the people, my favorite thing. 11 p.m., sleeping on the bed, my favorite thing. You get it, right?
I get it.
Here's
That's
the cat.
Sadie.
Yeah, here's the cat diary. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat while the other inmates and I are fed hash or some sort of dry nuggets. Although I make it my contempt for the rations perfectly clear, I nevertheless must eat something in order to keep up my strength. The only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. In an attempt to disgust them, I once again vomit on the carpet. Today I decapitated a mouse and dropped its headless body at their feet. I had hoped this would strike fear into their hearts, since it clearly demonstrates my capabilities. However, they merely made condescending comments about what a good little hunter I am. Bastards. There was some sort of assembly of their accomplices tonight. I was placed in solitary confinement for the duration of the event. However, I could hear the noises and smells of the food. I overheard that my confinement was due to the power of allergies. I must learn what this means and how to use it to my advantage. Today I was almost successful in an attempt to assassinate one of my tormentors by weaving around his feet as he was walking. I must try this again tomorrow, but at the top of the stairs. I'm convinced that the other prisoners here are flunkies and snitches. The dog received special privileges. He's regularly released and seems to be more than willing to return. He's obviously retarded. That's I don't agree with that word. But
no.
The bird must be an informant. I observe him communicate with the guards regularly. I am certain that he reports my every move. My captors have arranged protective custody for him in an elevated cell, so he is safe for now.
Awesome. That is so right.
Isn't that like just perfect? And I think this happens. I see this in my house all the time. So yes, dogs versus cats. So I wanted to share that. So having said that, let's just talk about senior cats with Steve Dale. Should we get him on the phone?
Let's do it.
The Positively Hotline is ringing.
We don't know what we're going to do. We have no plan. We're just here.
Who's calling in this week?
He went after her like she's made out of ham.
That is interesting. That's exciting.
Is somebody going to answer that?
Hello? Hotline ringing.
You're on your phone, and I don't think you're taking any of this seriously.
Answer the phone!
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's go!
We have Steve Dale back on the line.
Yes.
Steve, welcome again to our podcast.
That's all I get? There's nothing
wait,
more than
I'm
that.
Sorry.
No.
Steve Dale! Okay, that was weak. We'll
Thank
work on
you.
It. Let
See,
me tell
we,
you, though.
We love you. We've been talking about, you know, we were talking about cats and socialization
so
and elimination issues. And you are just a mind of information. That's why we want you to get you back on the podcast and ask you. Holly's got so many questions.
I know. I'm like chomping at the bit.
Can we start?
Yes. Because I have to get going because I always grew up a cat person and it's only recently that I've had dogs. So I have had every kind of cat on the planet. And right now I have this 18-year-old cat, George. And I want to talk about elderly cats because I don't think anybody talks about it. First, I want to talk about his mental health. So many times, you know, at night, you know, we'll bring him up sometimes to the bedroom with us. You know, sometimes if he's in a dead sleep, we leave him in the TV room. But he'll wake up sometimes in the middle of the night, whether he's with us or not. He'll get down on the floor and he'll just start to scream and meow, this weird cry. And then we have to get up or call him and say, George, over here. And then he'll come find us. And sometimes even we're just in the other room and he's left the room 10 minutes earlier and he starts this weird cry. And I don't know what in the world that is. And he's not in pain. It's not a medical thing. We've talked to our vet. So you, as the all-knowing, can you help me?
Well, the first thing I would do is, I know you talked to your veterinarian, but I want to reiterate the importance of that for people. So when I hear that, the first thing I think of in an older cat might be hyperthyroid disease, first of all. I also want to check for diabetes. Cats with high blood pressure will often do these things. Now, a cat with hyperthyroid disease or kidney disease is another, or high blood pressure, all of that can be intermingled with what I'm about to say, or that in of itself, any of those things I just rattled off, or diabetes, may be the explanation for what's going on. Mm-hmm. So there may be a strict, straight medical explanation. It actually is not unusual. It may also be behavioral. Mm-hmm. So if indeed it's as you described, so Victoria is going to jump in here, I know, and I know she's thinking ahead of me. So if a dog or a cat, 3 a.m, 3 p.m, doesn't matter, barks or meows, for whatever the reason, and you come running and you give the animal attention, what's likely to happen, Victoria?
Oh. Of course, they're going to see, what they did worked, so they're going to do it again.
He's playing me.
Exactly. So that could be the explanation. But another possibility intertwined with, so it doesn't mean that the explanation is only, so even if it turns out that it was an attention-seeking behavior, it doesn't mean that there isn't some of what I'm about to describe going on as well. If it's hyperthyroid disease or high blood pressure, it doesn't mean that some of what I'm about to describe isn't going on as well. And the earlier that you intercept the cat or dog with what I'm about to describe, how about this for a tease? I keep saying that. The earlier, talking to a radio guy, then you break for a commercial, and then I come back and describe it. But truly, here's what I'm about to describe right now. It's a feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome, and it looks very much like Alzheimer's disease in people. So we describe this sort of, and it is, feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome, this kind of like Alzheimer's in cats, with a acronym. And this is how we diagnose this. And the acronym is DISHA, D-I-S-H-A. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, there's an extra A after that. So the D stands for disorientation. This is a cat that kind of gets confused, the cat that might go into a closet thinking that's another room, or a cat that tries to go through the wrong side of the door.
Right.
Just a, and by the way, the same is true. Everything I'm saying is same for true for dogs, really.
Oh.
An animal that seems confused, that's disorientation. The I is for interactions, changes in interactions with household members. So a cat that typically runs to the door, or a dog that does that, as many dogs do, but now is being a little more aloof, or the reverse. A dog or a cat that was a little more aloof with strangers or maybe certain family members, that's now become this cuddly little puppy all over again. Anytime there are changes in interactions like that, that is another sign. Another one you just described to me, that's a change in the sleep-wake cycle.
Yeah.
So an animal that is getting up at 3 a.m, certainly that's a change in the sleep-wake cycle, but it's also animals that sleep throughout the day. Now, cats sleep throughout the day even when they're 4 years old, you know, and certainly when they're 14 years old, they sleep more. And the same is true for dogs. Our older animals sleep more. but sort of an animal that just leaps all the time. Now, as I say, there are medical explanations for some of these things, too. And in the case of dogs or cats, arthritis may play a role.
Yeah.
It may feel uncomfortable to move much. And if you can't move, you're sleeping. You know, why not? But that's another sign, a change in the sleep-wake cycle. Another sign is house silence. So while there are many explanations for house silencing animals, one of those is simply a cat or dog, a cat usually, that, but it's true for dogs too that have accidents in the house that are senior dogs, that just forgets what they're supposed to do. I'm supposed to use the litter box.
Right.
Or I'm supposed to go outside to do my business. Changes in activity levels. That's another one. So it kind of ties into what I said about the sleeping. So an animal that's just like, the life in that pet is kind of gone. Right. And they seem different. And when you talk to people, and I don't mean to compare this with Alzheimer's in people.
Right.
But when you talk to family members, or think about it yourself, if you've had a family member that has Alzheimer's, kind of you can see it in their eyes, the light, the spark is gone. And that's the only way I know how to describe this. Now, the other thing that ties in that gets all so complicated, so cats sometimes, it's like, okay, your great-grandma, who you call on the phone, and she's 112 years old, and she says, hello! Because she can't hear.
Right.
And a cat that's meowing at 3 in the morning, it may be everything I described. It may also be or not that the cat has high blood pressure, hyperthyroid, or any of what I rattled off before. But it could also be a sensory issue.
Yeah.
The cat's hearing, for example, may be declining, and like all of us, if you can't hear well, we tend to speak louder, and cats are no different either. So it can be a mix or match of any of these things, but I will say, as I said earlier, with canine or feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome, the good news is there are some things that veterinarians can do, and the sooner that a veterinarian can diagnose it, and it does require diagnosing, and I'm telling you, your veterinarian will go through the same list I just did.
Yeah.
Disorientation, interaction changes, sleep-wake cycle, house soiling, and activity levels, and may add anxiety to that list too. And then we'll look at, I hope, all those physical possibilities that are going on. Actually, that should come first. And then there might be advice that's given. And some of the advice given to pets, you know, I was talking to you in another segment about these kitten socialization classes.
Right.
One of the great things about them is we teach people to teach cats things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do this with dogs all the time, but we tend not to with cats. And with dogs, what we do is after that puppy class, and after you've taught your puppy to sit, stay, down, roll over, you're pretty much done. And that's okay, but I'll tell you, it's not okay, because constant learning through life seems to be a good thing for people. It also seems to be a good thing for dogs and cats. And studies have been done in dogs using dogs as examples and for people, actually. And it turns out a lifetime of learning can possibly put off this canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome or even prevent it. And it's the same reason, really, why these facilities, these senior living facilities and nursing homes, they have senior citizens learn new things all the time. It's exercising the brain. They do crossword puzzles, learn about how to go online and send nasty gram emails and all those things to grandkids. They go on Facebook, and all of that is new and all of that is learning. And if it helps keep senior people young, and we know it can help keep senior dogs young, or at least their mind a bit more fit or nimble, then why not cats?
Right.
So we don't teach cats things ever, even when they're kittens. So this is why I'm a fan of teaching cats things and then continuing to do these things, because it helps the cat to be more alert, be more a cat its entire life, and possibly put off feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome, or even prevent it. We don't know.
Holly has been scribbling down you've been talking about so fast.
I have so many notes.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a genius.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, I could talk to you. Can we bring him on again sometime?
Yeah.
All right.
Would you come back again sometime, Steve?
You guys can just call me at like 3 in the morning.
Okay.
Right. And I'll put the phone to the cat so you can know exactly what's happening.
He'd really appreciate that. He doesn't mind. In fact, if anybody wants to call him, call in the middle of the night and he will answer your questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much for joining us again. You are amazing. And thank you for all of the education that you give out to people on your radio show and your columns. And thank you for being such a great advocate.
advocate for animals.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
How can people how can people contact you, Steve?
My blog is chicagonow.com/Steve Dale. Or, of course, you could do what everybody should do, must do. I believe it's the law, and that would define me on Facebook.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you so much, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
Hey, you got something on your mind?
Are you a wizard, a genius?
How do they make a miniature? I mean, is there some way, some process they physically miniaturize the dog, or is it a puppy, or what the devil is going on?
That's a really good question.
I've got my work cut out for me here.
Next time you want to know something,
can you repeat the question?
Why don't you ask Victoria? She's the expert with this kind of stuff, you know.
You obviously don't know my dog.
Just ask Victoria.
Ask Victoria is brought to you by Adapto. Dogs get anxious and stressed just like humans. And just like humans, they don't always express it in the best way. Many pet owners might not realize these unwanted behaviors, such as excessive barking, soiling in the house, hiding and destroying household items, are caused by stress. All kinds of things can create stress for your puppy or dog, including loud noises, new people and surroundings, traveling, being left alone. Adaptil is clinically proven to help reduce or eliminate stress-related behaviors by mimicking the natural pheromones pets use to communicate. It has a calming effect on your dog, which makes your home a happier and quieter place for everyone. Adaptil is available in a collar, diffuser, spray, and wipes to help you keep your dog calm in just about any situation. Best behavior starts with Adaptil. To find out more on how Adaptil can help your dog's behavior, check them out at adaptilus.com.
Okay, let's start with Emma in Sheffield in the UK. Where is that? Where's Sheffield?
It's sort of Midlands, kind of in the middle of the country.
Very nice.
Coal mining town.
She says, hi there, I've seen you training dogs on TV, even the older ones, so I wonder if you can give me some advice. My mom,
that's brilliant, I love your accent,
has a three-year-old dog. She's amazing in the house, but she's scared of taking her for a walk because she pulls and jumps up at strangers. She's a big dog, a Rottweiler cross German Shepherd. My mom's at the end of her tether and loves the dog to bits. That's so British, love the dog to bits, and really doesn't want to get rid of her. Please, could you help? Yes, you could, couldn't
you?
Yes,
I could help, yes,
good.
With that.
Don't get rid of the dog. The dog sounds wonderful.
All right, no. Why is the dog jumping up? That's the first thing. Why is it?
Aggressively or happy?
Yeah, is it, hey, I want to say hello to you? Is it excited? Is it because that's the dog's way of coping? Is it when people come up to it? Is it being a little protective? Is it a little scared, a little fearful? First out, why is the dog jumping? But I would say use the positively no pull harness because that can give you a lot more control.
Describe the harness so you can tell the difference between that and a regular leash.
All right, so a regular harness has a connection on the back. Mm-hmm. Just on the back, sort of behind the shoulder blades.
Yeah.
And that, when you just connect a leash to that hook on the back or to that ring on the back, that actually can cause the dog to pull even more because you've got all of this kind of this space here, which is sort of your dog's center of gravity. And the dog feels this part of the harness across their chest and they kind of, it's reinforcing to sort of pull against it or push against that part and then pull. Do you see what I mean? And
yeah.
So the dog pulls even more.
Yeah.
But what my harness does is that it does have that ring on the back. It also has a ring on the front. Mm-hmm. So you're leading your dog by the center of gravity. So your dog tries to pull and its body comes round. You're not doing anything on the other end of the leash. You're just standing there. Dog pulls, body comes round. Dog realizes each time I sort of pull, there's tension on the leash. I can't
go where
forward.
I want to go.
So it relaxes. When it relaxes, you go forward.
Okay.
What I love about the harness, it takes pressure off the neck.
Right.
What I know you and I, Holly, have a really big problem. And we, you know, we see so many people putting prong collars on their dogs. Their dogs are wearing choke chains. And these people have no idea the damage they're doing to their dog's neck, both psychologically and physically. Mm-hmm. What I love about the harness is that it distributes weight evenly around the body. So it's much, much safer for your dog to wear. Doesn't cause your dog stress like anything. When you first put it on, the dog might go, oh, what is that feeling? But then it becomes like a wristwatch. You know, you put your wristwatch on the first time, you know it's there. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you forget it's there because it just fits snugly and comfortably. Well, that's how this harness fits. Just snug, comfortable, and then you just attach. I've got a double leash. So one part of the leash connects to the top, one part of the leash connects to the bottom. So I kind of use it like the reins of a horse. So when the dog is pulling, then I just put a little bit, just maybe sometimes a little bit of pressure. I just stop on that front part of that connector and the dog stops pulling. And then we just carry on. And if the dog's not pulling, then I put just more, I might lead the dog from the back. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like using the reins or horse. But the difference between my harness and other Nopal harnesses out there is that I have two rings in the front now. Not in the center of the chest, but on just the either side of the center of the chest. Mm-hmm. Because what I find with other harnesses that just have one central ring in the front of the chest is that when the dog pulls, because the natural give of the material, when the dog pulls, the actually no pull effect is gone because the material moves around and the ring moves around. And instead of having, you're leading your dog by the chest, you're actually leading your dog by the side here. So mm-hmm. the dog can still pull against that feeling to mm-hmm. still push against.
Yes.
So what I've done now is now I have two rings, one on each side of the center of the chest. So if I'm walking my dog, let's say I'm walking my dog on the left, I'm going to put the leash on the left ring.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm walking my dog on the right-hand side, I'm going to put the leash on the right ring. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that when the dog pulls, so let's say I'm walking here, this is me here, and this is where the dog is attached to here on my chest. The dog pulls. It actually, when it does pull, the ring still comes down to the center. It's still mm-hmm. not losing that no-pull action.
Right.
So I found with the two rings on either side, rather than just one ring in the center, it's actually more effective to stop pulling. That was a very long explanation.
But it makes
just
sense.
Just check out the store at positive.com. You'll be able to see my positively no-pull harness, and you'll be able to, you know, hopefully get that in, and it should work for you.
And so this will help probably, especially if it's a big dog, this might be sort of one of these where she can control the dog more, so she doesn't have to be afraid.
Exactly. It's going to give her more confidence.
Yeah. Okay, great. The next one is Paul from, is it Sale Cheshire? S-A-L-E Cheshire? Or is it his name?
Oh.
Look at that.
Sale, I guess. I never heard of Sale Cheshire.
Well, call him Paul from England. How should I interact with my brother's family dog that he just got that I've never met before? Never had a dog myself before. Not sure what is the correct way of doing this. He lives in America and we're just visiting. He has a Dalmatian Border Collie cross. Any help, please?
I love that question.
I know. Nobody really thinks about that.
No, they don't. But I love that because, all right, when I meet a new dog, I'm just not in their face. I'm all about taking pressure off. The dog wants to come and say hey. I'll say hey to it. And the dog really wants attention from me. I'll give it attention. And it's got a fluid body and it's waggling and its tail is going in a helicopter and it's smiling and it's happy. Then I'll give it all the attention it wants. But a general rule when I go into homes is that most of the homes I go into, mm-hmm. the dogs have issues anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just take pressure off by not getting in the dog's face, not having to touch dogs all the time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and giving the dog space to come up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wants to come up to me and it wants interaction, it'll tell me. If it doesn't want to come up to me, doesn't want to say hello, I'm not going to go into its space and try touch it. Not for now. I'm going to wait for a little bit till the dog gets used to me, starts to come into my space, then we'll have interaction. And I think this is a major mistake people make. Is because right away they want to have a relationship with that dog. They want to show the dog, oh my God, you're so cute. They start giving the dog space. They start touching the dog. The dog's not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Take pressure off. Less is more. And then what you might find is the dog starts to kind of seek attention from you. And when it starts to seek attention from you, then, you know, give the dog what it needs. Read the dog. Give it what it needs, but don't put pressure on it.
It's kind of like a human. If you met somebody and they came up to you, just met them, like say, you know, you're walking down the street and someone comes up to you and gives you a ginormous hug, you'd be like, excuse me, get off.
Right, exactly.
You don't know who this person
is. Exactly. But because they're dogs, you and I like this. I mean, I'd love to go up to every single dog and just give it a good hug and a good pet. But
you know I like dogs better than people.
Yeah. No, but you can't do that. You can't do that. And so we've really got to kind of use some impulse control on ourselves to take pressure off.
When you do first meet a dog, the dog seems interested. So say the dog, you know, okay, all right, I've seen you. You came in. You're talking to my people. You're not hurting anybody. It seems okay. The dog's sort of interested. How do you first introduce yourself to the dog? If it's not coming, oh, hi, pet me. If it's like, okay, you're not a threat to me, but I'm still not sure.
Let me wait for the dog to come into your space. Mm-hmm. Still wait. Even if you're there the whole day and the dog mm-hmm. doesn't come into your space, respect
but
that.
But if they do come into
they do. First of all, just, you know, reach out your hand. I mean, again, don't put it in the dog's face, but put your hand close to you and let them just sniff your closed fist. That's what mm-hmm. I do. Let them just get a little bit of your scent. Now, if the dog stays with you, and I love this because sometimes when dogs kind of accept you, they'll turn around and they'll sort of just sit there or they'll stand there. They'll give you their butt, which is actually quite a trusting thing to do. So if you think about it, if that dog trusts you, what is it going to do? It's giving you the non-bitey end. If that dog doesn't trust you, it's not going to have that confidence to give you the non-bitey end, is it? So it's going to keep facing you because it doesn't trust you.
Yeah.
So if you get that, you kind of get the bum shove, then, you know, maybe you could start petting, okay? If the dog is mane relaxed and fluid, great. If you feel the dog tense, just take your hand away. Dog didn't want to be petted. Mm-hmm. Just go slowly.
And what about eye contact with the dog? Like we all, and smiling, like you look at a dog, when I look at somebody to you and I want to be friends with you and I'm like, hi, you know, and that's a sign of she's sweet, she's nice, she's not threatening.
Again, it's totally different with some dogs because some dogs might take the hi and be like, they'll get really excited. But if I go, hi, to Barnsley, for example, Barnsley's going to look at me and go,
yeah.
What you looking at?
Right.
You know?
Why are you showing me your teeth?
Right, exactly. So again, it depends on the dogs. I think we should smile. I think we should smile because I used to think that if you smile and you show your dog's teeth, the dog's going to think you're aggressive. No, dogs are smarter than that. They can read the expression on your face.
I always smile with my teeth closed and it's impossible. No. I'm like,
No, people think I'm nuts. No, you can smile with your mouth open. It's fine. You can show your teeth. That's fine. Because if you're being aggressive, if somebody's being really aggressive towards you or a dog's being aggressive to another dog, I mean, you're going to be staring. Mm-hmm. You're going to be looking at them in a different way, aren't you? That is much different, more different than that.
Right.
And dogs can read those expressions.
What I do is when I'm looking at a new dog I see and we make eye contact, I look away.
That's fine. That's great. It's a nice appeasement gesture. It's just, you just do that briefly.
Yeah.
And I teach kids, you know, sometimes look at the dog, look away. Look at the dog, look away. And then just gauge what the dog's body language is, how the dog is feeling. And of course, you know, dogs, well, they wear their hearts on their paws. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're really good at reading dog behavior, which is what we try and teach children as well as parents, but we try and teach people, then you're going to be able to sort of understand your dog's inner emotional state or that dog that you're just meeting's inner emotional state, which I think is really important.
Awesome. And Paul, welcome to America. Okay, let's do one more here from Buckinghamshire, UK.
Everything's from the UK. We're getting a lot of questions from the Buckinghamshire.
Oh, I thought I had it right.
God.
I'm learning.
I love this. I have the same problem with American names, so.
Like Chicago?
No, like, Schenectady. I called it Schenectady.
Of course you did. Aluminium. Yeah. Okay. My puppy whines constantly and paces. The only place he relaxes eventually is in the kitchen. This means he's shut away from us. We can't bear to have him in the living room with us as his whining and pacing is so stressful. We long for him to be able to join in with family life, but it's impossible. We've spent a fortune on trainers, calming plugins, etc., but nothing is working. I'm so stressed out. Please help. That's baffling.
I can tell you 100% that the behavior will be made worse by shutting the dog in the kitchen by itself because it sounds like this is some kind of anxiety.
But it says here the only places he relaxes eventually is in the kitchen.
Yeah, I know, but that's probably he might just give up. Maybe. So some of these questions I wish I could go there and just watch, see what he does. Note down, is it every single time? Is it when all the family are in the living room? Is it when just some members of the family are in the living room and other members are in the kitchen that he's pacing in the living room? Is it because he's hungry? Is it because he wants something and he's not getting attention?
Is it something in the living room that he's scared of?
Right, exactly. You know, Jennifer Arnold was talking about, well, with her bond-based choice teaching, she talks about feeding the need. And for so long, trainers have not been feeding the need. And that's, for example, you know, she was using that example of when the dog comes in through the door and jumps up, then the normal protocol is to, you know, ignore the dog, turn your back. But that's not feeding the dog's need. Right? The dog is jumping up for a reason. And is turning your back just going to make that dog worse because or more anxious because you're not feeding that dog's need? So how do you stop a dog that comes through the door and jumps up? You don't want it jumping up on guests. So you teach or you feed that dog's need so much that it actually doesn't feel the need to jump up on guests. That's what I feel they need to do here. I think they need to feed the dog's need more than they potentially might be doing. And that means in other environments, not just in the living room. Because there's a reason why this dog is whining. Is the dog in pain? Is it whining because there's a thunderstorm? Is it whining because there's another dog outside and wants to get to that dog? Do they have another dog in the house? Is it whining because that other dog in the house is lying in the bed that it wants to lie in? Has it been told off? What have these other trainers done? Those are the questions that I would have to ask them before I could say, this is the reason why the dog's doing it. This is what you need to do in order to stop that. But I can guarantee you, whatever it is, they're going to have to work in other environments and work with every facet of this dog's mm-hmm. life to stop that behavior in the living room.
Should they journal this?
I do.
Yeah.
When does it happen? What are the times it happens? Who does it happen with? What does the behavior look like? I'd love them to do a video. Send it to, I think, admin@positively.com. You know, I would love that to do that.
Okay.
If they did that so I could see, you know, maybe we'd get more of an idea.
Of what's happening. Well, good to know. So, yes. And if you have a question for Victoria, go to positively.com/askVictoria. And hopefully we can help you. And can they attach the video to that, I wonder? We'll have to ask our producer.
Well, maybe they could.
Yeah.
Maybe
so
they could.
We could do that. But at least if you want to email, we can engage in that. But if anybody else has any questions, email, because we'd love to talk to you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Victoria Stilwell's Positively Podcast. For more information, visit positively.com. Get connected on Facebook and YouTube as Victoria Stilwell, or follow her on Twitter @VictoriaS. Be sure to tune in next time as Victoria helps to change dogs' lives positively.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.